Welcome to Bundesliga recap match day 11. First game of this day, match day was Gladbach versus Wolfsburg. Gladbach wins easily in a 4-0 game. Very convincing. Finally really got their attack going. I mean, Wolfsburg really did not look like they could really do anything in this game. And it was a complete team performance. I think that's what's most encouraging from Gladbach from this game. I mean, their outside backs both got assists with Joe Skelly and Luka Nitz. And then you have Frank Honorat. I wasn't super familiar with him. He does have a goal, but it was a goal that was his first goal of the season, and he got an assist. Huge performance from him. So that's his best performance of the season by far. Rocco Reitz, 21-year-old center midfielder, he got a goal. Then there are two players up top. They're playing in a two-striker formation, a little bit different. I'm wondering if this is a little tactical change Gerardo Sione made that makes a little bit of a difference in this game. Thomas Kanvarka. I'm butchering that, but 23-year-old Czech Republic striker gets another goal. That's his fourth. Alessandra Plie, he gets another goal, which adds to his total on the season, which is up to 5, which is not bad. Overall, just extremely dominating performance. Had more shots on target, more expected goals. I mean, it was a complete team performance. Everyone had a good match rating, so I mean, huge bonus for Gladbach. Moving to the Saturday games, Augsburg won, Hoffenheim won. Little bit, I feel like, unfortunate for Augsburg. I felt like they could have won this game, although it was a really even affair. Only one more shot for Hoffenheim, same amount of shots on goal. I just felt like in this game, I felt like Augsburg on that counterattack were super dangerous. Hoffenheim, I mean, this game, I was a little bit disappointed just because their only goal comes from a corner, Wout Weghorst, which is huge to get him off and going because he's had kind of a rough start, but he gets a goal in this one. This is second in a row and third in 4 games, so he's obviously finding some kind of rhythm, but off of a corner, so don't get an open play goal in this game for Hoffenheim. And just overall, not the most clean performance from them. But it's away. Augsburg gets a much needed point. They're going to fight for every point they get. It's a good point against a quality Hoffenheim opposition who has been really, really solid of recent. And I mean, when you have the manager, Pellegrino Matarazzo, I mean, when he gets the team playing his style of football, I mean, it's really, really quick, and they usually can just break down teams super easily. So credit to Augsburg for staying strong and really keeping this match almost dead even. Bayern 4, Heidenheim 2. This one, a little bit shocked that I thought Bayern would win more comfortably, I would say, just because Kane gets 2 goals, 14th and 44th minute. Then Kleidenheinz gets another goal, Kleidenheinz gets the first goal for Heidenheim, and then Best, in the 70th minute, he equalizes. I mean, 2 minutes later, Guerrero does get the eventual winner from Bayern, and then Choupo-Moting in the 85th minute seals it. But Heidenheim did have this game tied for a brief moment, so you have to give him credit on that. And Bayern only had 2 expected goals, so they did limit the quality of chances in this game. Now, the quantity, not so much. 19 shots for Bayern, 8 shots on target. But only 3 of them were really bigger chances, and some of the goals were really quality strikes. Like Guerrero, that was a really, really nice finish. The header from Maxim Choupo-Moting, another really nice finish. So those ones, and then Harry Kane, he's gonna get his goal. The fact that he got 2, I mean, his shots were good, and the header he had was super clinical as well. So, I mean, just having those chances, and it's just the finishers from Bayern, I think that's just separates the quality. I mean, the possession was just dominated by Bayern, 72%. But Heidenheim looked dangerous on that counter. That's how they got one of their goals, their goal from Tim Kleidenheist. Their other goal, Nicholas Best, he gets his goal more from regular play, but still, it was more of on a transition type of play. So overall, I think Heidenheim can take a lot of benefit from this game, because you get two goals against a really quality team, and at one point you had it drawn. So I think this gives a huge building block for when they face other top quality teams like Leverkusen, Dortmund, Leipzig, Frankfurt, Wolfsburg, Hoffenheim, all the teams at the top. Once you face those teams, I think they'll get more out of it because of the fact that they've proven that they can do it against Bayern. So I think that's a super positive for Heidenheim in this game. I didn't really harp on Bayern Munich too much. They did their usual. Kane gets another two goals. I mean, right now he's unstoppable. So, and Sané gets another two assists. So I thought that was very good. And then, but I think a big takeaway Bayern can get from this is they got two goals off the bench, and Matthias Tell gets an assist. I think that's probably the biggest drawing point from this. And then also Matthias Tell, he's got three goals and two assists on very limited minutes. So I think that's another huge bright spot for Bayern. Moving on to Darmstadt versus Mainz, goalless draw. Pretty even game, possession roughly even, expected goals roughly even, shots only one difference. Three shots on target for Darmstadt, only one for Mainz, but really nothing was hugely troubling. And honestly, both teams, you can kind of see the lack of quality going forward for both teams. These really could not get much link-up play and good chances going forward, and I think that really showed. So overall, I think it shows the overall state of the teams, the fact that right now, neither team is super super set. I mean, they're not really set for the season because neither team can find goals, and I think this game really proved it. Although you can't rag on Darmstadt too much, they're coming up, and I mean, they're still fighting, but I think the expectations were a little bit higher for them, just seeing how Heidenheim are ahead of them on points right now. Stuttgart get a 2-1 win over Dortmund. This was the big shock of the match day. I know Stuttgart have been playing really well, but I thought it was more just because they had a really soft schedule opening up. But man, this game was completely different than I thought. I mean, Stuttgart blew me away. I really don't know what Sebastian Hoeneß has done for this team, but he's got to be looked at by all these managers now. He's got to be the guy that they go look for. I mean, oh my gosh, this guy's got to be on every club's list. He's just worked magic. So go just from their top, from the whole team. Jamie Welling gets an assist. Dennis Undav gets a goal. Coming back earlier than I thought, Seru Garasi, he gets a penalty goal. They even missed a penalty with Chris Furch. He misses one. So, I mean, the fact that they missed a penalty in the 11th minute, come back, get a goal in the 42nd, get a penalty in the 83rd to seal it, and really, and Dortmund get a goal. They even opened up the scoring in the 36th minute. Again, Füllkrug doing veteran things. It was a really quality chance. He puts it away. I mean, if he missed it, I would have really, really been shocked, but a tap-in, he gets it. So overall, I would say Dortmund are looking really, really good at that point. But then, I mean, then it just really turned into the Stuttgart show. If it wasn't already in that game, because honestly, as soon as the whistle blew, it really looked like Stuttgart was the better team. And if you switched their kits, honestly, I would have thought Dortmund was Stuttgart. Because if you just gave no kits to the teams, like, I would assume Dortmund was that team. Because just the dominance, you just don't expect that from a team like Stuttgart. I mean, their payroll is a fraction of what Dortmund's is. The quality of players, you on paper, you would say it's a fraction. But right now, Stuttgart just have so much cohesion as a team. And honestly, there's some players that I would say had a really disappointing game. Grassi, not no, because he got, I mean, he got a penalty goal, but still a goal. Mutombo missed a shot. Enzo Milit, he missed a few shots. Dennis Undev probably could have had another goal. And then if you look around, like, everyone was getting in shots. And it wasn't just the attacking players. Atakan Corozo, 27-year-old midfielder, yeah, he got a few shots too. So just seeing that is the fact that their entire team was getting in on the attacking action. I think that just shows you how much of a difference this Stuttgart team is to where this Dortmund team is. And, I mean, that reflects in the table. Right now, Stuttgart are ahead of Dortmund. So I think that shows you really, really why. I've completely underestimated Stuttgart, and this game proved it. Because they're going to have bumps in the road. I don't know how much depth they have. I mean, they've shown that Dennis Undev can fill in for Saru Garasi, who, I mean, he was playing in, I mean, in form, you can't keep up. Like, even Lewandowski wasn't able to keep that kind of form up that he had at the start of the season. But if you're going to continue, Dennis Undev, I mean, he's filled in pretty well for Garasi. In this game, he gets a goal, too. So, I mean, the depth, I think, is more than I thought, but if we're looking at them to stay in the Champions League, Champions League spots, there's definitely a possibility they stay there. So, I mean, we'll have to see just as the time goes on. But I do owe an apology to Stuttgart just because they completely shocked me. And Dortmund, I think this is going to be a way worse season than last year. And I think their fans just got to hope they make Champions League. I think the title's gone. Anyways, moving on to Bochum versus Cologne. 1-1 draw. Dauschner opened the scoring in the 24th minute, and Davy Selke in the 54th minute equalized for Cologne. I mean, Davy Selke's 28, and I don't understand. He's been a journeyman. He's been at Hertha, Werder Bremen, Leipzig, a few stints at Hertha. So, I mean, he's just bounced around from club to club, but he's still getting goals right now. And right now, that's what he needs. I mean, his aerial duels are still such a huge threat. And off the goal he gets here, I mean, he gets it with his foot this time. It was a decent chance, but I mean, I really do feel like Riemann could have done a little bit better, but he did make up for it in this game. But I got to talk about how Bochum cannot finish a chance. Expected goals, 3.78. They have one goal. 9 shots on target. 2 hit the woodwork. I mean, it's just mind-boggling to me how they have quality up front, too. Philip Hoffman, I feel like, is a decent enough striker. This season, he's been super cold. But I felt like last season, when he got 8 goals, I feel like, okay, he can put away a chance when he gets it. Because, I mean, Bochum last year, they did not create a ton. But this year, Thomas Leitch has them creating some chances. At least some, at the bare minimum. In this game, they created a ton. And I'm not too surprised that Takuma Asano doesn't finish. That's been the big knock on him. He had an over 1 expected goals. He couldn't finish. So that's a huge loss for them. I mean, they need him to be able to be somewhat clinical. Expected goals, expected shots on target. Kuartsang, he feels maybe a little bit hard done by that he doesn't get a goal here. He had a really nice chance in the 22nd minute. But overall, Schwab, the Cologne goalie, he had a very good game. And keeps out a kind of a toothless Bochum attack. They get a goal from the midfield. And overall, I mean, the creativity on Bochum, I think there's more potential because of how many chances they created that this season, that they will keep going up a table and they'll continue to improve. But they've been on a decent run of form. Before these games, they haven't lost the last 2 games in the Bundesliga, so that's very positive. And they won versus Bochum in the last game. They really should have won this game, though. So, a little bit disappointing, but results are starting to go Bochum's way, and you're starting to see the stats back that up as well. Moving on to the three games on Sunday, Leverkusen 4-0 win over Union. Union continue to struggle. I thought that they might be getting out of it when they get a draw 1-1 with Napoli. Then they come to Leipzig and just get hammered 4-0. Grimaldo, Kanzunu, and Jonathan Tah, and then Tella finished it off. Boniface doesn't even get a goal contribution. Assists from Hoffman and Wirtz. Grimaldo, an assist and a goal. Man of the match. Jonathan Tah and Kazunu from the back line both get goals. Adi gets an assist, and Nathan Tella gets a goal. So huge, huge props to, Leverkusen. Continuing, Xabi Alonso's just got a machine. They still haven't lost. I mean, they're 11 match days in and they haven't lost. Who would have predicted that? I mean, they were starting to play very well at the end of the season last year. I kind of underestimated them at the beginning of the season. I didn't think that they would jump off to this great of a start. But since they have, I mean, it's been really impressive. I'm just a little bit curious to see why it hasn't got. I mean, I knew it would go well. But the fact that it's gone this well is a huge credit to Xabi Alonso. And overall, in this game, the stats back it up. I mean, this is the worst performance I think I've ever seen out of Union. And it's not really the possession, 31%. I mean, you can kind of understand that that's kind of how Union have played against the bigger teams. They had two shots, two on target, with a combined expected goal of 0.04 in this game. They had one shot in the 43rd minute by Yannick Heber from the very, very right side of the 6-yard box, and then a shot from way outside the 18 in the 53rd minute, which was comfortably saved by Herdetsky. So, I mean, two shots, two on target with a very, very low expected goal. I mean, it's just so disappointing compared to the 18 shots for Leverkusen, 10 on target. I mean, there's just no life to this Union team right now. And this game really, really proved it. Moving on to Werder Bremen versus Frankfurt. Werder Bremen 2, Frankfurt 2. Opened up the scoring right before halftime. Marvin Dusch with a penalty. Then they go up 2-0 right after 5 minutes after halftime with Rafael Santos Pereira. Shikri gets Frankfurt's first goal in the 65th, and Schmolik completes the comeback in the 75th minute with a goal. Overall, Frankfurt maybe could have found a winner, but pretty even game, almost even shots on target, almost even shots. Felt like a draw was pretty well-deserved, although Werder Bremen feel pretty hard done by the fact that they were up 2-0. They concede two goals at home. That's disappointing. But from a Werder Bremen perspective, this game had its huge benefit. Second game in a row, Borrer scores. Marvin Dusch also scores. That's his third game in a row. So they're starting to find strikers up front that are really producing. Bittencourt gets an assist behind them. So overall, fantastic game offensively. Defensively, you got to have, there's a little bit of, I see a little bit of concern. Because I felt like they fell asleep a little bit. The momentum definitely shifted after that second goal. Not the way you'd expect, though. Once they got the second goal, it really turned all Frankfurt. And I think that was really telling, and I think that's super disappointing for Werder Bremen. Just because as soon as they get their second goal, the momentum completely shifts. And it really turns into all Frankfurt for the rest of the second half almost. So I think that's the most disappointing part if I was a Werder Bremen fan, just because you want to see your team continue to push and continue to control play and continue to get chances, even up with when you're up. And I think I don't want to say it shows the team, shows like what they're about, but I think it's a bit disappointing that they concede two goals pretty rapidly. And end up dropping 2 points. On the other side, Frankfurt, starting to get better attacking. Omar Marmoush continues to be the man up front for them. He gets an assist. It's his first of the season, but it's his 7th goal contribution. And they're all really coming of recent. And I mean, in his last 7 games, he has all 7 of his goal contributions. So he's really, really starting to pick it up. So I think that's the huge thing for them, and that's why they've really been on a better form, is because Omar Marmoush is really taking it upon himself to put his impact on this team. And they get assists and a goal from the back line and a goal from the midfield, so that also helps. But I think there's definitely positives Frankfurt can take, and as long as Omar Marmoush can come back from the international break and continue to play well, that'll be huge for them. Then moving on to the last game of the match day, Leipzig 3, Freiburg 1. Simmons opened the scoring in the 6th minute, tied up right before halftime by Roch. The winner was scored by Openda off from the penalty spot in the 79th minute. Baumgartner, almost right after kickoff, gets the sealer for Leipzig, leaving no doubt that they win the game. Stats definitely favor Leipzig, and they really kind of showed it in the second half. I mean, you can see that from the goals, but overall, I would say this definitely was a very strong performance from Leipzig. Shots 15 to Freiburg's 9. 6 on target to Freiburg's 3. So, I mean, Freiburg were efficient. 1 of 3 shots on target goes in. But overall, I felt like Leipzig definitely played better in this game. I mean, you want to highlight Simmons because he gets a goal and an assist. And that's his, I mean, he's been playing so good. And that's his 7th assist for 4 goals for a total of 11 goal contributions in 11 matches. So that's fantastic. Openda, he gets a goal, huge for him. Continuing to rack him up. He's got 9 goals and 2 assists in 11 matches. So both of them have the same amount of goal contributions in the same amount of matches, Simmons and Openda. So that's huge. 2 new signings that are making huge difference for Leipzig. A little bit disappointed in the people that should be, that are veteran players for Leipzig, though. Benjamin Sesko is not one of them, but Emil Forsberg is. He did not play that great in this game, and overall, he hasn't been that great, but you can't be too mad at Leipzig. You can't go up 2 against Leipzig. They win 3-1 here pretty comfortably. I mean, they did take a last winner later in the game, but overall, you felt like it was coming throughout the match watching it. And then Freiburg, they get a goal, and it ties it up, but they just didn't really look that comfortable in this game. 37% possession, expected goals right around half a goal, so just not the performance you would want to see. And overall, I mean, not much you can take positive out from this, except for Merlin Hurl gets his first Bundesliga goal, 21-year-old player that could be really exciting for him. He's also 6'4". That surprised me, seeing he really could compete, and physically, he's much stronger than I thought he would be, and that's a huge weapon that he uses and a huge strength he has. So that was very, very good, I would say, from a Freiburg perspective. Not a whole lot other positive, except for Noah's Wiehaup. He played very well in this game. Doesn't get a goal or assist, but I just thought he was very creative on the left side. Left winger-ish position, left mid. He does go back for, he does pin back on when they're playing more defensive in this game, as they did with only 37% possession. But overall, I felt like he's super talented. He's only 22, so I think he's another talent that Freiburg will definitely use through the season. That will do it for this week's Bundesliga recap. I know it was a little late for this match day, but thank you for listening anyways, and have a great day. Bye.